Maggie and Perloff from Radio Row is sponsored by Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds, the protein-packed snack that's bold as you are. Be big, be bold, be adventurous. Look for them in the snack aisle at your local grocer. Making his way to the set, friend of the show, Mike Golic Jr. I should mention, we're live, Radio Row here in Phoenix, across the country on our CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We are streaming live, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, where Mike, unfortunately, an adult dating website has infiltrated the chat. We've got our people. We're not sure if we should kick them out or not. We're kind of like, I don't know, I guess we were kind of like flattered that they chose our chat to get involved in.
I guess that's true. You always look for the silver lining in these situations.
That's one of them. Now, we made you a promise last night.
I was going to ask because, man, oh, man, was this the Target run heard around the world?
Yeah.
Well, Perloff and I had to go to Target after media night because we're celebrities like that. Stars.
By the way, it was the most suburban Target you've ever been to in your life. You know, we just come from media night where everybody's in the media or famous or a former NFL player.
Perloff's getting interviewed by people there. They're chanting his name from the stands.
We go to a suburban neighborhood 15 minutes away, and it was a completely different world. Like, I don't recognize that guy from any show. This is Bill, the accountant, and it was very disappointing.
Yeah, that's not Colin Cowherd. Yeah, what's going on here?
If you squint real hard, I figure like you can make most suburban dads look like Colin Cowherd. If you just believe.
Yeah.
We took an Uber there. It was bizarre. Anyway, we promised when we saw you that we would get you something.
Oh.
Now, Perloff picked this out, so full credit to you. Go ahead. Okay. We bought you something at Target.
Oh, guys. This is a $5 hand massager.
Oh, wow. This is and you know what? You need it at the end of a long week out here.
Shaking a lot of hands.
Gas bagging away. Exactly. There's going to be a lot of shaking hands. No kissing babies because that's just, you know, that we're not running for office here. Thank you, guys. This is incredible.
You're welcome.
You want to come with us to Target. I mean, you love a Target run.
Who doesn't love a Target run? Yeah. Again, despite what it does to me financially, I am an utter ruin because I moved from Connecticut to Los Angeles in June of this year. And somewhere around the time I arrived in Los Angeles, I made no less than 9 Target runs. Because you just keep finding stuff you need and you keep going back. And every time, as we talked about with inflation, $200 on fire, gone, don't know where it went.
No, I had a different gift I wanted to get you. Perloff put the kibosh on it.
Ooh.
I wanted to get you a $9 small globe of the world. Like for your desk or podcasting, you could have it behind you.
Document the travels a little bit.
Put little pins in every place you
go. I just thought it was a lot to pack, the globe.
It's a little clunky. The shape's weird.
And you know what? And you were thinking the right way, not knowing that I drove out here from Los Angeles, so the travel is a little easier back as far.
See?
But I'll be able to store this. This would be great. Long road trip, what you find out is if you drive with one hand, whole side of your body starts cramping and getting tight after about 6 hours. So to the rescue.
You know, going full circle, that kind of looks like an adult toy as well.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Okay. It's a hand massager, people. Get your mind out of the gutter, whoever
the chat's already ahead of you.
Yeah, that is true. With the dating chat in there. And then on the way out here, I stopped at a rest stop. And it was this weird moment, like, of nostalgia where you go into the men's restroom and they've got the coin dispenser for the adult items in there.
Oh,
condoms?
Rubbers?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, let me tell you what. I don't
How
know.
How much do they cost these days?
70. So these days, I believe these have been
inflation?
In here since before the Cold War. Like, we were dealing with nuclear threats and now we've got balloons and somehow these condoms had survived the whole thing. And let me tell you what.
Those aren't made of rubber.
Something about the drugs in the 70s that people were on, the innovation in that technology back then, we somewhat gave up along the way on making those better and more creative. They were dealing with something totally different.
Wow. I mean,
need to get our best person on this. Like, let's catch everyone up to the 2023.
They cannot be older than the condoms that were in my wallet in high school. That one lasted a long time. It had the indentation and, like, the circle on the wallet.
Break in case of emergency, and the emergency never came.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Then all of a sudden just, like, disintegrates into dust.
That's what
I
figured.
What happened?
If I put 75 cents in there, it was just going to shoot, like, weird plastic dust at me. That's probably a little radioactive. No one wins.
But, I mean, that saves you the horror of going to the drugstore and asking for condoms. I don't know. I mean, Maggie, you don't know what that's like for a man.
Thank God.
Shout out to the post-COVID self-checkouts that have become readily available. I'd imagine saving a lot of young, up-and-coming teenage to college boys, that awkward interaction with the woman that could be your grandmother working the checkout counter. It's like, there aren't enough magazines in the world I can buy to cover for this.
No, I mean, men have, like, buying the condoms. That's your thing, like, head down in the pharmacy, and then women have the tampons. And it's like, all right, I got to buy something that goes on top and below this box that clearly everyone knows what this is.
And if you're a man who lives long enough into the relationship cycle, eventually you make the trip for the tampons.
Oh, my husband and I have FaceTimed. I'm like, no, not those. Not those. Those, because I'm sorry. I can't just do to the description of the box. It's not going to help. Oh, I need to have eyes on it.
Good on him for understanding his weaknesses and saying, I'm just going to ask for help.
I got the best husband ever. Michael Jr. is here. Amazing. Thank you for being friend of the show. Of course, on behalf of DraftKings, we already told you that we love when we go to the DraftKings app and it's your face giving us like fun teasers and things like that. Okay, wanted to ask you if you saw this. I know you had to rush over here. Aaron Rodgers talking on McAfee today, so it's always news. Says he's going to do a little bit of a different kind of trip this year. Going to go into a bit of a dark place, he said.
Yeah.
That self-described dark place that's going to – oh, do we have it? Oh, let's all listen to Aaron Rodgers on McAfee.
Wait, is it prison?
This is a troll. This is a troll. He's not doing that.
You thought the astrologer was a troll.
And that happened.
This is real.
Oh, maybe he's real.
I do love, by the way, this really highlights the difference between Pat and Aaron. Like, Pat obviously does a phenomenal job. Yeah. Aaron's one of great. But they're so opposites personality-wise. It's like those unlikely animal friend videos that you watch on YouTube where it's like, this giraffe has befriended a rhino for some reason, and they're going to hang out in the wild.
It's interspecies,
You, by the way, couldn't pay me to do. Now, an isolation retreat, different than what this sounds like, which is like more like immersion therapy might be in there, where you're in one of those tanks in total darkness.
Can't be alone with my own thoughts.
No, thank you. And apparently, listen, he's already battled the demons. That ayahuasca stuff sounds like the trip from hell with your own demons. So this man apparently really has to go above and beyond just to figure out if he wants to play for the Raiders or not.
Well, I've always wondered about how I deal in prison. I'd be bad. But
I know that, actually. It's funny you had to wonder that. We could have answered that question for you on your behalf.
Know thine self, though.
Everyone in movies doesn't want to go into isolation. Now, I'd be so terrified of the other prisoners that I'd request to be in isolation because I would be just dead if I was out in General Pop. Have you ever thought about this, Mike?
Only all the time. I feel like in my lifetime is really when shows like Beyond Scared Straight and all the prison fear shows started to come, and it just underscored the fact that while I considered myself a tough person and I played the gladiator sport for a while and did all that fun stuff, that's a whole different bag. I don't want those kind of problems. So you're right. You find your way into solitary, and then you get some books. You get to the prison library program.
Doesn't sound awful.
You start on another degree
What
here.
Are you with Brooks? Is this the Shawshank Redemption? Now you're just doing the plot of the Shawshank Redemption.
I just assume that prison hasn't aged since then, that I'll walk in and Red's going to be ready to become my new best bud.
You guys play checkers and chess
We're
together.
We're all going to have a great time wearing derbies in there.
Maybe get a beer every now and then for swabbing the deck.
I'll start the library program in there. It's going to be great.
Wait a minute. Whenever you talk about this, because you said it before, about prison and thinking about if you went there, you never tell me what crime did you commit to get there. Have you been framed?
Have you ever seen Oz?
I'm familiar with Oz. Yeah.
The guy was in there for a drunk driving accident. Now, that's not going to happen to me, hopefully, but that's the worst fear, that it's something that you don't do that's criminally intent, but you end up there anyway.
It's a meme at this point. But it's going to be me messing up my taxes in the IRS.
It's like that thought at the end of the year.
How much do you owe? We can't tell you. Oh, you get it wrong? Go to jail. What an insane process.
But that's white collar prison. That's mostly tennis. I mean, you have to be good at – I don't know how your tennis game is.
Pickleball now, which I feel like is a lot easier barrier to entry from what I've heard.
Yeah. So
you'll be great. It's country club.
Yeah, you don't need to go to isolation in a white-collar prison. You're fine.
That's it. They call that the spa day. That's just actually you going for a massage.
You walk into white-collar prison, everyone's like, McLovin.
I might be –
You'll be signing autographs.
Yeah. Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
All right, do the Raiders thing. Yeah. Do the Tom Brady take. Yeah. You'd be like a stand-up comic in there.
In a way, I'd still go into isolation.
Michael Jr. is joining us on behalf of DraftKings. Okay, brothers in the Super Bowl, Kelce's, of course. Your brothers, you guys all very, very athletic family. Even your sister, obviously, is a great swimmer. So competitive, like what are Jason and Travis kind of going through? Now, I don't think you've ever played against your brother.
Yeah, so I was fortunate. I never got to play against my brother. We were always teammates in high school and in college, so we got to experience that together. And it's, along with doing a radio show with my dad, the coolest things I'll ever get to do, to share something that you love so much with a person that you've known and watched put in that work forever. And I think that's why so much of this is just going to be appreciation and support. These guys are high-level competitors. Yeah. They'll turn it loose out there. They're not going in. It's not a Chris and Kyle Long situation where I've heard guys that have had to play against their brothers, not fun. You don't want to have to do that and go through that because you both know what it took to get here and how people are going to judge that. But for these guys, they both already got one in the can. They both already got a Super Bowl on their resume, so they're kind of made men. And I'm sure the other is going to think a lot about whoever comes out on the wrong side of this because they both – I mean, seeing the images and the pictures of Jason Kelce after the Super Bowl in 17 talking about when he wasn't offered a scholarship coming out of high school and how his parents told him to keep pursuing the dream and he walks on – like, Travis knows that journey really intimately.
Yeah.
Jason knows the journey Travis had was a bumpy one at Cincinnati for him and his time on that team. And so I think when you've got that appreciation for what it took to get here and you both realize you've accomplished your dreams, it's such a celebration for them. Like seeing Donna on stage with them at opening night, it was awesome. That's what it should be.
Well, it must be tough for a parent, Donna, being asked to pick favorites. Now, in your family, you don't have to worry about that because everyone knows that Sydney is the favorite of your parents.
Well, so we've been told the favorite changes on any given day.
Oh.
They're constantly ranking us. They've made it abundantly clear. They do have a favorite that changes based on the day, and it will absolutely have an effect on the will when it's all said and done.
High-stakes poker. They hold the money over you, really.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. And also, like, you know, you're depending on your kids on what nursing home are you eventually going to get in. Like, this ranking thing, that is smart.
They understand it.
It's jujitsu.
I do want to also, in the brother-on-brother, because Donna, and there's been a lot of conversation about the split jersey.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't go right down the middle. She's got the shoulder. She's got the front and back there. I want to offer an alternative to parents with incredibly successful sons. And now I'm not saying that about me and my brother.
The floor is yours, Gojo.
My dad and my Uncle Bob both were in the NFL at the same time.
Yeah.
And so when my Grandpa Lou and my Grandma Kate used to go to games, we don't see enough hat use on this front.
Oh.
My Grandpa Lou had a hat that had two bills, one on each side. And on one side, I believe it was when my dad played for the Oilers and my Uncle Bob played for the Browns.
Right.
And so he had a hat that whenever the other was on defense, he would just spin it around. It's incredibly easy to use, and it's a little bit different than the jersey split.
You know, glad you didn't go Rob Lowe there, just the NFL logo, because that's not what you want.
Or you could just do, instead of the NFL logo, just Kelce.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't matter which side, Kelce. Black hat, Kelce.
Can I ask actually a boring, non-weird question? One,
sure.
So
That's a great setup while we're doing a radio show.
Yeah. No,
everyone, stop your cars.
You can take a break from the fun. Eagles offensive line.
Yeah.
Kelce is great, and Lane Johnson is great. I was at the Eagles-Niners game. I couldn't believe Lane Johnson controlled Nick Bosa. Peter King wrote, this is the best offensive line maybe in history. Do you put them up there, an all-time offensive lines?
I don't know yet. I think a lot of that's going to be decided in this game because it's such a complete challenge for them. We've made note, everyone, about the road the Eagles took to get here and how maybe it didn't have as many challenges as some other places, but they are one of the best by far. They've got two guys in Lane and in Jason that are future Hall of Famers without question. And the fact that they've managed to stay healthy. I used to always look, True Media used to have a stat where you could see how many snaps a given offensive line combination had played together. Mm. And for a while, I'd check at the end of every season while that was available. And the teams in the Super Bowl were almost always teams in the top five in the league at snaps played together. Continuity matters so much. Mm. And so, yes, talent-wise, they're there. With what the offense has allowed them to do, think about it. We're a passing NFL now, or so we thought. We've seen a lot of teams lean back into this run style, ground and pound, and the Eagles have done it. Spread formations, lighter personnel, but you got big athletic freaks that can go out here and get it done like this. They're one of the best we've seen in quite some time, and they've been healthy enough together for long enough to give us time after time, taste after taste of that, overcoming the adversity with injury like Lane. It's incredible.
Okay, last one for you. Mike Golick Jr., that was a fantastic breakdown, by the way. Not boring at all, Perloff, despite the setup. Of course, he's also the host of the Gojo podcast, which we absolutely love. Your DraftKings analyst, which way are you leaning for the game? Which way are you betting this game?
Leaning Philadelphia right now. Probably going to, I believe the last I saw the line was 1.5 still.
Yep.
So probably going to go Philly minus 1.5. I'm terrified of the Mahomes part of this.
Yep.
I do have, I mean, there's some props in there I really like. Kenneth Gainwell over 19.5 yards. He has been getting more and more of a workload late as of late, spelling Miles Sanders. You look at him. The Travis Kelce anytime touchdown has been really good during the postseason, and I feel like as the banged-up weapons for Kansas City have mounted, he's been the one constant in the middle there for Patrick. But I just think the Eagles have controlled the line of scrimmage so well, and we're riding high on Kansas City's defensive line because of what happened against the Bengals front that had three guys that were backups that finally looked like it.
Yeah.
Love
Michael it. Jr., can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Hey, that hand massager,
guys,
all the way back to L.A., think of us. You know?
I'm going to look at this and think so fondly of this show. Thank you, guys. I'm glad you had a great trip to Target. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You know, yeah. I did not think if that needed batteries, we didn't look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
you
that's
might need hubba, a trip hubba. To Target.
Yeah, thank you,
maybe
buddy.
Like a D-Volt. Okay, anyway, thank you so much, Michael Jr.,
thanks,
DraftKings analyst and host of the Gojo podcast coming up. It's been a love fest between Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, but how much competitive fire is burning right below the surface? Our buddy Ryan Leaf is going to tell us, former NFL quarterback. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff right after this.
For the first time ever, stream the Super Bowl for free. Super Bowl 57 on Westwood One is Sunday, February 12th. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. All sponsored by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the cause of your check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Ah, the rich irony of life.
Yep.
Maggie Gray.
Take my medicine.
Maggie Gray causing waves as usual with her take that Nick Sirianni should not bring his kids up to the podium in a press conference. And dear friend of the show, Ryan Leaf is here. And what's happening?
What's happening?
His adorable son, MacGyver, who's 5 years old, is sitting here on our set. Hi, MacGyver.
And it's so awesome. Good. So what is your problem,
awesome.
Maggie?
I know. And I deserve it. Everyone, come on. Just pile it
this
on
is
me.
What karma is.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah. And I deserve like a big dose of it. Just come kick me right in the face. I'm happy MacGyver is here. I'm happy that Ryan is here.
Yeah.
This is just too good.
Yeah, Ryan, how you doing? Welcome to another Super Bowl. You were one of our first guests when Maggie and Perloff started last year on the Super Bowl. It's great to see you. I know this week is crazy busy for you. How's Arizona so far?
It's great. You know, we got in a little late, traveling with my family. You know, MacGyver finally is kind of starting to understand what maybe Dad does a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of likes the fact that he gets to be on TV sometimes
yeah.
and stuff. And, you know, it's been hit or miss today. But it's a lot of fun being here. Ann and I, my wife, we did this at the San Francisco Super Bowl. I came up initially to just get a health check from the NFL.
Yeah.
And Paulie Papps and Andrew were doing the Dan Patrick Show, of course, and they asked me to come on. You know, I hadn't done any press since I got out of prison. And as we all know, Dan's an incredible interviewer.
Yep.
And that interview alone did so much for what my career ended up being. And it started there, and Anna took me through all of Radio Row. I got to practice, really, and it's kind of where this all started. So we've been doing it for, how many years? That's been 2016 Super Bowl or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Happy to be back. Awesome to see you guys. Love to see how the show has flourished in the year and be able to come on from time to time.
Well, yeah, because my hot takes about how kids shouldn't be up on
podiums,
of course, that's what's catapulting us right to the top. But, you know, you've been such an open book with us and with the public now. Do you and your wife talk about how you want to talk to your son about your career, about everything?
We did. Actually, this is something her and I talked about in the car the other day. Like, do we wait until, you know, he comes home and asks a question because maybe somebody said something in a derogatory way, or do we, you know, preempt it and have a conversation about it? And I, you know, I don't think the football side of things is anything we're going to have to address. It's going to be the other stuff,
sure.
You know, and that's a timetable thing that we decide as parents. And but I think what ended up being the coolest thing about all this is that I'll be more prepared to be a better parent because of the perspective I have.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like out of bounds for me I won't be willing to talk about, and hopefully he'll have an understanding about too.
Well, it's interesting, the football stuff when he gets older. I think that will come up too, because the name of your podcast is Bust. People view you that way. Come draft time, he's going to watch the Manning Leaf documentary, the 30 for 30. It's interesting. How do you feel about that stuff now? Is it taken some time to get used to people labeling you that?
I mean, I don't think you ever get used to it. What the fact of the matter is, my peers don't call me that.
Yeah.
But the 27,000 of us who played in the NFL, when I run into my brothers here, you know, they don't look at me that way because they understand how difficult it is to get where you're going. We just watched the greatest of all time retire after 23 years. There's guys that played 1 year who struggle with the transition just as much as Tom Brady's going to struggle with the transition. He has a better transitional plan ahead of him, of course, with everything that's laid out for him. But his identity is being encapsulated by football and being one of the greatest at doing it. What is that going to look like when he doesn't have it? So I think it's important for all of us former players to be there for one another. So the Bust identity was something that haunted me because I listened to so much about what other people thought of me. So the way I guess, took the power back, I named it my podcast, did over 1 million downloads, and now all the people that have called me Bust have made me a lot of money over the last couple of years.
There you go.
We love it. Ryan Leaf is a good friend of the show, of course, host of the Straight Line podcast on PointsBet USA. Let's flesh this out a little bit. What's waiting for Brady now? Because, like, we know Fox, and he's going to take, like, a year off. But, you know, that's fine in his family. But, like, the first, like, few weeks and months after you retire, what's waiting for him?
That's going to be incredibly difficult. It is. That transition, regardless of what your career looked like, your identity has been being a football player, right? It's normally to go to start training to prepare for what the season has to offer, right? It's going to be different. I did like the fact that they announced he wasn't going to go into the booth for another year, so we can kind of do that. Clearly, it looks like it's all about thirst trapping. That's what it sounds like.
Wow,
you know,
he put it out there.
He did put it out there. How come he looked like a Sim character?
Someone asked it, put it in my mentions. They think it was photoshopped. I'm like, yeah. I don't think so. He's so like proud of his body, obviously, with TB12 and putting a picture of himself in his underpants on the internet. Which
I went through this midlife crisis about a year ago when I lost a bunch of weight and I could see abs for the first time, and I took selfie pictures of it, and then like I was told immediately that don't do that ever again. So
that's what having a great wife by your side. Yeah. That's awesome. Ryan Leaf is here. I was saying that he's having a midlife crisis, and even that he's the greatest at. Like, this dude doesn't mail it in.
He does, you know? Not mail it in. He does a great job at it. I have a question for MacGyver Leaf, though.
Yeah.
MacGyver Leaf's on headset right to my left, yes.
Yeah. MacGyver Leaf, who do you like in this game? The Eagles? Or the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
He's all over the Chiefs.
That's where I am too. Don't say that to Perloff, who's from Philadelphia.
Yeah, what
he might
heck,
throw
MacGyver?
A cheesesteak at you.
What's your problem with the Eagles, MacGyver?
Well, I'm all over the Eagles, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What for? Why?
They're just the best team, the most complete team.
Yeah.
They're gonna make this Super Bowl reminds me a ton of the Denver Broncos Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl.
Oh, wow,
that was a blowout.
It was, and so at first I thought it was gonna be a real blowout. The closer we've gotten to the game, the scales have been really tilted in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles. But as we get closer to the game, you add number 15, and he just finds a way to balance those scales. Yeah. Ultimately, I think that Philly wins by a field goal.
Ryan, have you ever had a high ankle sprain like
Mahomes
has right now?
Oh, yeah.
How do you think it'll affect him?
It's going to affect him. It's going to affect him, and they should have the same game plan that they had in place against the Cincinnati, where if you look at that first quarter, when he gets through his second or third read, it's immediately to the back. It immediately is. He's not trying to run or anything. Mm. But as the game goes along and pressure starts to mount, he starts using his feet, starts to climb the pocket a little bit more, because at the end of the day, if we don't win this game, the season's over.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So that's going to be the same play, I think, in this game. I think early on he's going to be right from the pocket, dumping things off, and later, third quarter, he's going to start moving up in the pocket, moving out a little bit, and that's where he's going to run into some problems, because he's going to aggravate it again, because you can't heal it enough. You're going to twerk it or tweak it or whatever – in a weird way, and it's going to get stiff, it's going to swell up, and it's become a little painful and inhibiting for him to move around. But again, there's no game after this, so it doesn't matter. That's what I assume the game plan is going to be like. I know that Andy Reid and the staff didn't want him to start running as early as did in the Cincinnati game, so you know, we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, it's still going to be a problem.
Well, what about the other side? Jalen Hurts, his last game of the season too. You've seen him hold back these last few games, running and scrambling a little bit. He might as well go all out there and run the ball.
Well, I would the holding back part, yeah, but I don't think it's been because of the injury.
Okay.
I believe it's been because they've been just absolutely boot stomping whoever there was in their way. I mean, they're up 28-0 at halftime in both games pretty much.
Okay.
You know, just 21-3 and 28-0 at that both halftimes in these things, and then you know you have the running game that you have. And all of a sudden, Kenneth Gainwell's become this guy that's just a closer on you. Just runs it down your throat when everybody knows you're going to run the football. So, you know, I don't think he's been necessarily holding back because of the injury. I think he's been holding back because there's been no need to put himself in harm's way because they've been dominating the last few games.
Ryan Leaf is joining us, of course. He's the host of the Straight Line podcast on PointsBet USA. His 5-year-old son, MacGyver, is also here on the set listening along with us. He's picked the Chiefs, just if anyone out there was wondering. Okay, want to ask you we had Garrett Wilson, the rookie wide receiver for the New York Jets, who was on, and we said, what would you say to Aaron Rodgers to, you know, like, do the pitch about if you're going to get traded, why would you come to the Jets over the Raiders? And he said, because we have a better team than the Raiders. And he said it pretty confidently. Do you think that's true? If Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded to the Jets or the Raiders, do the Jets have the better team?
Yes, they have the better team because they have the top 10 defense. You put Aaron Rodgers with the top 10 defense, he's capable of winning an MVP. He's capable of getting his team to a championship level, okay? You go to Las Vegas, you may be in a no-income state tax state. That'd be the only benefit I see.
Okay? And Devontae Adams.
It doesn't matter because they'd have to score 45 points a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Which would be a lot of fun,
yeah.
You know, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is capable of doing that at this age. So he needs a top 10 defense. So the two places, if he's really looking for trade, I'd look at New York and I'd look at Carolina because both those defenses are top 10 defenses, and that makes the difference. You know, those are the same landing spots for Derek Carr, who's in a situation too. Like, those are two places that he should really look into. And it could be where either one of those quarterbacks goes to either one of those spots, to be honest.
Yeah. Ryan, you've played on several teams. You were obviously in San Diego where you're drafted. You were at the Cowboys. How important, and I think people don't really get to see all this, is the organization in the sense from top down. And I think this is something that Aaron Rodgers has to think about. You know, the Jets and the Raiders have had their issues in the last 10 years. If you're a player, are you just looking at the coach, or are you able to evaluate sort of everything going on in the building?
Yeah, ownership's a huge part of that, right? You know, when you, especially with the Jets, right, what's been the variable in all the chaos over the last couple decades, really, right? It's been the Jets. It hasn't been necessarily the players. The players have changed.
Yeah.
Coaches have changed. Systemically, it's been the Jets.
Well, yeah. They know they've cycled through basically every coach in the
Robert Saleh may be an answer to their but my fear is they don't have the right quarterback scenario situation next year. They have a bad year, and Woody Johnson's sitting there going, all right, new head coach, new quarterback. Yeah. It's what we do every 3 years. I guess we're going to do it again. I hope that's not the case. Also, I'm a big Mike White fan. I'm a huge Mike White fan. Sounds like he's going to be back.
I know. You told us he reached out to you.
Yeah. He's. What's so ironic about that is, like, a guy that wasn't in the same boat as me in terms of expectations and everything, and you got a guy sitting in the same quarterback room that is in a – it's just the stigma around struggling and weakness at the quarterback position, especially when you're supposed to be so talented and so have so many expectations. The fear of somebody knowing that you need help is worse than actually reaching out.
It's easier for Mike White to reach out as it is easier than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, which is the thing we're trying to eliminate in terms of stigma. Like, it's the most relatable thing in the world. Second overall pick, you know, second year looks like it's – I mean, I don't see how it corrects itself there. I don't. I know Robert Saleh's been on it, you know, had his back, which is amazing to see. But there's no way that they go out and pay a ton of money and bring in a quarterback that Zach Wilson's going to be the guy who's starting next year.
No, you've told us. Like, he's staring down the end of his career right now. And, yeah, I think that you've given – from afar And from our show, you've given Zach Wilson some of the best advice. If he would only listen to it, I don't know.
Yeah, you never know what anybody's going to do with what. That's the cool thing about, and Andrew knows this really well too, is like, you know, you could give people the most advice you want in the world, but if they're not willing to accept it, and you know, you can't do anything about it. So at the end of the day, you lay your head down going, I did my part in all this. I can't control what somebody does or thinks of what I have to say about anything.
Yeah, you think you know someone else's timeline. When they're ready to hear it.
Yeah, for me, that's like if I would have got sober and got the help I needed on my parents' timeline, like it would have been 10 years before I actually did it, right? It it's sometimes it takes what it takes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the timeline of this interview was too long for MacGyver. He has exited stage left on this interview. You know, to be fair, for a five-year-old, he really lasted. He was so well-behaved. Obviously, you've got a wonderful kid and wife there. Ryan, can't tell you how much we appreciate this always. Host of the Straight Line podcast on PointsBet USA, yes.
We probably had a future number two overall pick in the NBA on our set.
I told him, do you love basketball? He said, eh.
He's just being modest.
No,
well, the new house has a full half-court basketball court. So
there you go.
But you don't want to be like that kind of dad.
And I won't be. Yeah. Whatever he wants to do, we'll educate him. He's gonna learn pretty quickly. He's got pretty good hand-eye coordination,
I say you don't want to be that kind of dad. That's why I'm gonna drive up and I'm gonna teach him how to shoot. And I want to represent him.
Yeah. Maybe you'll be a Sixer and you'll be just in heaven.
Oh, of course. It's Hustle 2. On Netflix.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Perloff reprised his role as reporter number two. I love
Scout.
It. Oscars. Okay. Ryan, thanks so much. Enjoy having your family here. Fantastic.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always good to see you.
Great to see you, too. Coming up, we turn our attention to one of the latest coaching hires, Perloff, and all the drama surrounding it. Don't move more, Maggie and Perloff, right after this. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're at Radio Row in the Phoenix Convention Center. And as we mentioned yesterday, Perloff, we are so happy and proud to have a new member of the Maggie and Perloff family, and that is the incredible folks at Casamigos Tequila. So with that in mind, it is time for the Casamigos Shot of the Day. Okay, today's shot of the day is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos is brought to you by those who drink it. And today's shot is when we had Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson on the show. And Perloff asked him how he would feel to have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. All right, so that was Garrett Wilson with the hard sell there for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. We have the better team.
I expected a rookie to be careful about it, a question and answer like that. He just went right there.
Listen, if you're in the room, if you're doing the pitch with Rodgers, he took our question seriously. Like, what are you going to say? You got to cut to the real thing.
Yeah, and there was, you know, I thought he might have some sensitivity to Zach Wilson and not want to even answer that. Nope. And it's not like he's not Odell. He's not one of those brash receiver types. I think he seems very genuine. I think he would really, really love to play with Aaron Rodgers. If I'm a Jets fan hearing that interview, I'm pretty excited.
Listen, and Ryan Leaf just joined us on the set, and he said he agrees. The Jets are the better roster.
Yeah.
And the reasons he said is the Jets have a top 10 defense, might actually be like top five.
I've heard top five.
You know, really, really strong defense. And at this point in Rodgers' career, and as Ryan Leaf told us, like, he can't win these shootouts. You know, the 45 points a game, like, that's just not Rodgers, who he is right now. Now, I'm not sure about that.
He was MVP 2 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that the top five defense, I think we'll call it, has got to be a massive selling point. And Nathaniel Hackett, being his former offensive coordinator, is there. But you keep bringing up this great point, which is about...
I do?
Wait, what? I know. I think it was you. Who said about, like, how much does the organization matter you get to that point of his career? Like, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to deal with BS. And unfortunately, the Jets are kind of synonymous with BS. And, you know, just things over the years that have come up and they get blown out of proportion, or maybe they do deserve some of the backlash for it. And it's not like the Raiders have really been, you know, nobody's been seamless in this regard. But the Jets and the Raiders are two that have, you know, some high-profile mistakes.
Well, if you're going to be a Super Bowl team every year, you're going to have your coach and you're going to have your quarterback. There's not going to be an opening for Aaron Rodgers. So he's not going to go to the perfect situation.
Yeah, that's true.
I keep talking about the Tom Brady model. Who would have ever thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a Super Bowl team? It was not happening with Jameis Winston.
But they were more irrelevant than, like, Jets.
They were not winning.
Like,
yeah. But
same old Jets, you know, just end the season.
But if Tampa Bay was up in New York and got that kind of media attention, then they would have been we looked at it last night, 2007 to 2020, they were not in the playoffs. But they were down in Tampa. We never paid attention. So I think part of that is the New York thing. When you lose in New York, you know, you're losing in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But I think it could work with Aaron Rodgers. If I got to talk to Aaron, I would say...
What would you say?
I'd say, I'm a Cancer. It's nice to meet you. I really respect your astrology and all your takes. But, dude, you got to go where there's good defense. I agree with Ryan. I think New York's a better place than Vegas. Although Devontae Adams is tempting. He makes everyone look good. Which would you choose if you were Aaron?
I think it's funny because you have the familiarity with Devontae Adams, but you're not familiar with Josh McDaniels. And to me, I'd probably end up going to New York, to be honest. Yeah. And I know this is going to sound like New York homerism. Believe me, it's not. I think I would probably go there because of the familiarity with Nathaniel Hackett and just I don't have to learn a new language. I can still speak my language. But listen, I'm not going to say it's not a risk. It definitely is because the thing is, you mentioned, like in New York when things explode, the whole country turns and laughs and points and laughs. When things explode in other places and get kind of embarrassing, right, the whole country doesn't turn and go, ha, ha, ha.
Well, yes. I mean, I do think the New York teams have become irrelevant nationally.
Well,
I don't think they I mean, the Jets are 1 p.m. every Sunday.
Yeah.
They did not get any primetime games. So I do but do you...
I know the last time they did, the quarterback said I was seeing ghosts, and it became a thing.
So let's turn to Vegas for a second.
Yeah.
I think drafting a quarterback is a great idea. They're in the top 10, except Devontae Adams is older, so I don't know how you work that out. This is going to sound terrible. Maybe turn Devontae Adams for a bunch of more draft picks. Start over. Say you could get a C.J. Stroud. I think Aaron Rodgers is great, but that might be a team that wants to look at a franchise quarterback, a 10-year window and not just a 1.5-year window.
You know what's funny about this, though? It's like I think about the real time, right? Like it's a coach and a general manager who just had to go to their boss, no matter who it is. You go to your boss and say, we got a great idea. We're going to trade for Devontae Adams, and then you're going to have to pay him a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And then a year later, you come to and you go, I got a great idea. We're going to trade Devontae Adams. And, like, if I'm an owner, if I'm the boss, I'm like, what the hell? You just sold me on one thing, and now you're selling me the exact opposite.
Well, that's how teams work. I mean, Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, has to go in and say, all right, I missed on the number 2 overall pick at quarterback, but I got the solution at quarterback.
Yeah,
so you have
me.
To listen to him.
Yeah, at least he's built a
I mean, how
team.
Hard is it to walk into an owner's office and say, hey, I think we could trade for Aaron Rodgers? If you're 30 out of 32 owners, you're like, okay, let's do it.
I want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Of course, we mentioned Casamigos, and huge thank you to George Clooney, to Randy Gerber, to Mike Meldman, to Lee Einsiedler, is our good buddy. And thinking about the Super Bowl, see, I love a margarita. Like, that's my thing. I'm a 12-month out of the year margarita person. Like, I don't have to be on vacation. It doesn't have to be summer. And I'm looking on the Casamigos website, Smoky Casa Margarita. You get the Casamigos, the fresh lime juice, simple syrup, do a little orange bitters.
Ooh.
Great cocktail. Awesome for the Super Bowl. I'm just going to leave that there for everyone.
Do you know that my lovely wife, Sarah, only drinks one thing?
Margs?
Margaritas.
Yes.
And there's this place down the street from us. And you got to come to Brooklyn with Sarah, and that's all she wants is margaritas. So that would be, we would have a great Super Bowl party. Unfortunately, we will not be able to do that because my team's in the game, so I'll be there.
I know you're preoccupied.
Yeah, I don't.
Thank you for bringing
that
up
really
again.
It's really weird. I mean, it must be a foreign idea for you to watch your team in the Super Bowl.
You know what? I wish I had a comeback, but it has been a foreign idea for me to watch my team in the Super Bowl. Okay, a guy who now can enjoy a lot more margaritas with his free time is Tom Brady. Now, what was interesting about Brady is he's still doing the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, and they had a special surprise guest, Bill Belichick. Now, Belichick went on and on about how amazing Brady is, and then Brady responded and talked about his relationship with Belichick and the outside forces that were always trying to pull them apart.
Yeah.
Okay, a little revisionist history here, or maybe like looking back at the good old days?
Yeah, no, I think so. But listen, from the Belichick standpoint, 2 years of Mac Jones under Matt Patricia and all whatever is happening in New England will make you appreciate Brady.
Of course.
I think the same thing goes for Brady and how tough this year was. I do think that maybe this idea that they didn't get along and it wasn't fun, maybe we jumped on it a little too much because, I don't know, do you think it was legit that Brady was tired of Belichick?
I do. I do. I mean, they were together for 19 years, right?
Yeah.
And it was incredibly successful, but I think the Alex Guerrero stuff was real. about how Brady wanted his body man, Guerrero, and also Guerrero kind of spreading the TB12 around to other guys in the locker room. It was maybe undermining or undercutting what some of the Patriots employees were trying to do in terms of the training staff or nutritionists or whatever. So I think that was a real point of contention. And I think, like all great dynasties, they were vying for credit. I do think so. And I think it's Kraft, Robert Kraft. I think it's Belichick. And I think Brady all wanted to make sure they were remembered and are remembered as the reason that the legacy, the dynasty happened.
But I also think there were some real football reasons. The Patriots were starting to lose a lot of skill, especially on offense. Brady, I think that last year was tough. Might have wanted to get out of there for that reason. And I think Belichick is like, where are we going with Tom Brady? It's time to start over and find our new Tom Brady. Turns out both of them, Brady was more right than Belichick was, if that's the case.
No doubt. And also, it maybe goes back to Brady wanted to, Belichick wanted to trade Brady and start Garoppolo.
Yes. Yeah, and who knows who else. I think Belichick was probably looking beyond Brady for 5 years.
You know, I mean, that was Bill's MO. Like, that was his way. So, anyway, some very interesting things said on the Let's Go podcast. A lot of people to thank today. Thank you to Mike Zampter, of course, to Stu Kovacs holding it down back at HQ. Thank you to Anthony Vitellio. Thank you to Frank Lewis. Thanks to Dan Silverman. Thanks to Dave Marinick. Thank you to all of our incredible guests today. We appreciate you. And the Weedos and the Purple Drinkers
and all,
in the chat.
All those little kids sitting at press conferences around the world.
Oh, boy. We'll see you tomorrow.